Earth, sky.
Well, I think Voyager will be our first interstellar spacecraft. We know that. And the only question is, will we reach interstellar space while we have electrical power so we can transmit the data home?
You are listening to space scientist Ed Stone, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Since 1972, Dr. Stone has been the chief scientist for NASA's Voyager mission, which is on its way to going where no spacecraft has gone before, beyond our solar system. Dr. Stone spoke more about the past and future of Voyager with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Stone, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Good to be with you.
Now, something is close to escaping the space bubble of our star system. Tell us about what that is.
Well, the sun has a wind blowing outward from it radially at a million miles per hour, and it creates a giant bubble around the solar system. All the planets are inside the bubble, and all the spacecraft are inside the bubble. But Voyager 1 is now 11 billion miles from the sun and is very near the edge of the bubble, which is the edge of interstellar space.
So what do scientists know about the heliosphere, this bubble that surrounds our solar system?
We now know for the first time roughly how large it is. That is, there is a shock which occurs when the supersonic solar wind slows down as it approaches the edge of the bubble. Voyager 1 crossed that shock 6 years ago, and Voyager 2 crossed the shock about 3 years ago. So we now know that the bubble is on the order of perhaps 12 billion miles in radius in the direction we're headed, and Voyager 1 may have on the order of a billion miles or so left to go. It's now 11 billion miles from the sun.
And this bubble, I've heard you describe, I mean, this is not just something that is like an imaginary construct. This is something that is real. I mean, how, maybe you could go into describing what this thing is exactly for people listening who might not have any idea what we're talking about.
Perhaps the easiest way to visualize it is to think of a kitchen sink. If you turn the water on and let it hit the bottom of the sink with a drain open, you may have noticed that a thick ring forms on the bottom of the sink. Inside the ring, where the water first starts out, it's very thin and very fast, and that's where the solar wind is supersonic. But it eventually gets so thin that it has to slow down, and it does that abruptly and forms this thick ring of water, which then turns around and goes down the drain. The same thing happens around our sun. That is, the wind from the sun slows down and eventually has to turn around and go down the tail behind the heliosphere. And the two Voyagers are now in the thick ring part of our heliosphere, just as in the thick ring in the sink.
Now, these Voyager spacecraft, it's been over 33 years since the first Voyager launched. For people not familiar with what the Voyager mission is, looking back, Dr. Stone, what do you think is important for people to know about what Voyager has done so far?
Voyager was designed to fly by the four giant outer planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. That's a possibility every 176 years to do that. And 1977, when we launched, was one such possibility. And what we discovered was how diverse the bodies are in the solar system. Before Voyager, the only active volcanoes we knew were here on Earth. After Voyager, we know that there's a moon of Jupiter, which has 10 times more volcanic activity than Earth. Before Voyager, we thought that the magnetic field poles were always near the rotation axis, as they are here on Earth. After Voyager, we now know that, in fact, you can have a magnetic pole down near the equator as well, because that's the case for Uranus and Neptune. Also, before Voyager, we thought that only the Earth had a substantial nitrogen atmosphere. We now know that Titan, a moon of Saturn, has such an atmosphere, although it's much colder, and there's no oxygen in that atmosphere. But time after time, we discovered things that we didn't even know were there to be discovered and have revealed how diverse the bodies are in the solar system.
No, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it sounds like what Voyager is finding out, or found out as it came up close to these planets, that it seems to raise more questions than it had going in.
The way I like to say it is we suddenly got smart enough to ask the questions we were not smart enough to ask before. And I think that's how science advances. When you see things you don't expect, that is, you weren't even smart enough to ask the question, and suddenly you see something new, and you can begin to ask really good questions.
Now, looking beyond 12 billion miles from Earth, when the Voyagers pop free of our star's space bubble, What do you think they'll find?
Well, we know roughly outside what's out there because we have some astronomy data, but it really tells us what's out there much further away. What we will find out is what's really right around our bubble. We do know that it's likely to be a cloud of material which was ejected by this explosion of several supernovae 5 to 10 million years ago, and they shed most of their mass, and we are now enveloped in one of the clouds that came from that series of explosions 5 to 10 million years ago.
And we're talking about interstellar space.
This is interstellar space, the space between stars. So it's the space between the bubbles. Each star has a bubble around it, like ours. They're called astrospheres. And that interstellar space is the space that's between these bubbles.
Now, besides the science that the Voyager mission is doing, Voyager also carries what's called the golden record, what can be described as humanity's greatest hits that are etched into this plate of gold. Now, thinking about today, you know, if you could put something, Dr. Stone, if you could put something on Voyager today in 2011, what would you add?
Well, you know, it's been 30 years since that record was made. It was an analog record, the 16 and 2/3 RPM analog record. Today, one could put digital images on such a record, a CD or a DVD, or Blu-ray, and have videos as well as still photographs as well as music. Clearly, you can look at what's happened in the last 30 years and add those things to such a video file as a picture of Earth at the epoch when Voyager was launched.
Dr. Stone, thank you so much for taking this time out to speak with us today. I appreciate it. I have one last question, but before I ask that, is there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have asked you?
Well, I think Voyager will be our first interstellar spacecraft. We know that. And the only question is, will we reach interstellar space while we have electrical power so we can transmit the data home? And we will have enough electrical power to take us through at least the year 2020. And I think there's very likely that in the next several years, we will actually enter interstellar space, and these will be our first interstellar spacecraft.
So right now, it's running on nuclear power. Is that right? And what happens when it runs out? How far do you think it'll keep going?
Well, the two spacecraft are on their way. They will orbit the center of our galaxy just like our sun is orbiting it, leaving the sun behind and essentially being a piece of Earth, which we have created and sent off to orbit in the galaxy essentially forever.
Dr. Stone, thanks for speaking with us today. What's the most important thing you want people today to know about the NASA Voyager mission?
I think the most important thing is that it reveals, by exploring, you reveal things about nature that you had no idea you didn't know. And I think that's what science is about, and that's what exploration is about.
You've been listening to Ed Stone, a professor of physics at Caltech and chief scientist for NASA's Voyager mission. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.